It's time for Big Blue Kickoff Live. Only on Giants.com.
Smith back to throw. Has time. Over the middle. Intercepted by Roll again. Antrell to the 20. Needs a block. Pinball down to the 5. Roll call time. Antrell with back-to-back picks.
Manning back to throw. Steps up. Deep ball down the middle of the field.
He's got Cruz. 35, 30, 20, 10, 5. Touchdown, Giants.
Romo drops straight back to throw. Steps up. Gets hit by Canty.
Pass intercepted by Jason Pierre-Paul. To the 10, to the 5. Touchdown, Giants.
There goes Wilson again. Trying to break to the outside. Wilson cuts it back to his right. Needs a block, and Wilson's going to go. He's to the 10, 5. Touchdown, Giants. 97 yards.
Now here are your hosts, John Schmelk and Lance Meadow.
Welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live right here on Giants.com. 201-939-4513. 201-939-4513. Hashtag Giants chat on Twitter. Obviously a disappointing loss for the New York Football Giants last night. They fall to the Denver Broncos 41-23. A lot of stuff to talk about this morning, Lance Meadow, but the first thing that I'll touch on is this. The big story, based on what I gleaned from the papers this morning and listening to some talk radio driving to the office today, people are fixated on the 7 Eli Manning interceptions over the first two games. He had 4 yesterday, but to me, that is a bit of a false narrative. The Giants did not lose this game yesterday because of their quarterback, Eli Manning. Did he turn it over 4 times? Yes. Is that also unacceptable? The answer to that question is also yes. However, 2 of those interceptions came pretty much after the game was out of reach in the fourth quarter. Another interception came at the end of the second quarter when the Giants were trying to get a touchdown. Bad throw. To me, the constructive thing to do, you know Eli Manning is a good player. You know he's your quarterback, right? That's not going to change. So you take a look and try to figure out what the root causes of these interceptions are. And to me, it's twofold. One, you cannot run the football. So you're constantly in second and third and long, also sometimes playing from behind, so Eli Manning has to go there and try to make some big plays down the field to get some first downs. That's one. Number two, when he gets in those second and third and long situations, the Giants' offensive line is not doing a very good job protecting him. So he's facing a lot of pressure. He's getting hit an awful lot. He's had to rush some throws, and that has something to do with it. Combine those two together, you're throwing 45 to 50 passes a game. And when you throw 45 to 50 passes a game against a good aggressive defense like the Broncos, you're going to have turnovers. It's just the nature of the beast. And until you fix those other problems, you're going to keep having these issues with turnovers because your team's not balanced. And until the Giants figure that out on the offensive line and with the running game, I'm not sure how much this is going to change.
Well, I would say it doesn't matter what defense you go up against, John. If you put the ball in the air 45 to 50 times, you're 100% right. The turnovers are going to exponentially increase. So that goes without saying. The other interception I'll throw into the mix was also there was a fluky one that went off the foot of a Broncos defender.
Great point.
Is that necessarily on Eli Manning? Maybe it wasn't the greatest throw, but, you know, things happen. So, yes, the 7 interceptions, I can understand everybody focusing on that because it is such a large number over the course of 2 games. But when you look at each individual interception, it's not necessarily solely on Eli Manning. To me, the biggest storyline yesterday was missed opportunities. Brandon Myers, you have a walk-in to the end zone. He slips up. That's a touchdown that was removed from the board. You can at least get a field goal on the interception you touched on right before the end of the first half. That would have given them tremendous momentum heading into the locker room.
Timeout. How about the play right after Brandon Myers trip on the 20-yard line? Reuben Randle's marching into the end zone. If he has better discipline and has the ball protected, doesn't get stripped from behind, that should be a touchdown. Granted, the Giants kept the ball because of an illegal contact penalty, and they still kicked a field goal, but that should have been 7 points, another missed opportunity.
And all of the opportunities in which Josh Brown came out for a field goal, more red zone issues and more troubles not being able to punch it in. So it was all across the board on offense, plus the running game that you touched on. 19 carries, 23 yards, John. That's just not cutting it.
And Banks and I did the math during the postgame show during one of our breaks last night, and of those 19 Giants runs, 6 of them were for 0 or negative yardage, and another one was for 1 yard. So you cannot run the ball consistently. You're not going to have balance, and you're going to have trouble winning football games. I mean, Eli Manning had to try to win that game by himself last night, and unless you're Peyton Manning or Aaron Rodgers or Tom Brady, and even those guys can't do it sometimes, you can't win games if you don't have some semblance of balance, and you have to not only respect the running game, but also protect your quarterback. And to me, Lance, they have to figure out what's going on in this offensive line. They're getting no holes in the running game. And Eli Manning, if he keeps getting hit like this, he's not going to make it through the season.
He took his fair share of hits yesterday. It's truly amazing that he gets through all four quarters, the last couple of games, because Dallas also came after him.
Very durable.
And you even mentioned last week, I remember, John, all of the pressure that he was facing against Dallas. Despite that, he still had great pocket presence to rebound from that and still get the football down the field. I don't think he had nearly as much success against Denver in that category within the adjustments, but that's something that he's probably going to have to get more and more used to as this season progresses. The bottom line is you get that running game going, you're not going to have Eli Manning throw 45 to 50 times. So that should be one solution to the problem. And number two, they've got to win the battle at the line of scrimmage. Maybe it's a matter of the game of musical chairs. We talked about the four preseason games, four different offensive lines. David Boss has been in and out of the lineup. You know, it's very easy to say you put your center back in and everybody's going to return to 100%. Sometimes, John, it takes a game or two or some additional practice reps till you reacclimate yourself with the teammates that are right next to you.
No question about it. And is it also a matter of guys just getting beat? You know, this miscommunication is one thing. Guys just getting beat is another. And look, the Broncos are a good pass rushing team. We talked about it all week last week. They have a lot of blitz packages. We know Von Miller's not there, but Sean Phillips had 2.5 sacks in week one. He wasn't a huge factor last night. He made a couple of plays, but the Giants allowed Eli Manning to get pressure too much. And then conversely, on the other side of the ball, Lance, Peyton Manning's sitting back there throwing a tea party. And a couple times the Giants did get there, they couldn't tackle him. Peyton Manning's dancing around. He looks like a 50-year-old man trying to high step around tackles. But Colin Jenkins going to bring him down. Sean Rogers had a chance to bring him down on another sack. And they couldn't bring Peyton Manning down. We had the stat last week. Last year when Peyton Manning was sacked 0 times or 1 time, the Broncos are 8-0. Did not get him to the ground last night.
The Sean Rogers play, to me, best summarizes the defensive effort. I mean, he has him on the leg.
Yeah.
And Manning awkwardly somehow gets out of that and then converts on a third down. That, to me, is the whole defensive effort right there. And granted, the defense held its own yesterday, considering some of the positions that it was put in, just like the Dallas game. But there were other missed opportunities. That's why, to me, that's the best way to describe and summarize this game.
Defense at all couldn't in the first half. They gave the Giants offense a chance to be up by double digits if they would have converted some of those touchdowns to field goals, and they couldn't deliver.
And the Giants secondary, very physical with this receiving core. Granted, the Denver receivers did make plays, John, but they made them earn it. It wasn't as if they were getting big bombs down the field yesterday.
Two bright spots to me early in this season. One is the play of the defensive tackles defending against the run. I think it's been very strong. And number two, I think the play of the secondary has been very impressive. The corners, and a lot of people were down on Corey Webster heading into this year. I think he's played extremely well his first two games. Terrell Thomas has been fantastic. I'm very happy for him. I always come back off that knee injury. He's played good football. And Prince has been good. And the two safeties have tackled well. Nobody's been beaten over the top. So the secondary to me has been a huge bright spot early in this year. 201-939-4513. Hashtag Giants chat on Twitter. Let's start on the phones and go to Ed in Maryland. Ed, good morning.
Good morning, guys. Great job for talking about the defense yesterday, because the defense, I think, has actually played good so far this season. They actually, you know, held Peyton Manning at 7 points going into halftime.
Yeah.
And one thing that bothers me, though, because this happens every year with the Giants and the offense and Eli and Gilbride, and that's why I think this is probably the last year, if we don't get it done this year, this is the last year with Eli and Gilbride. I mean, every year you have the same problem down in the red zone, and we get down there, we have to set up a 20-yard field goal. Every year, fans and media keep giving pass because he won 2 Super Bowls. I just can't have that anymore. Eli, there's no way to sugarcoat 7 picks in 2 games. Going into this season, I was telling myself and telling my fellow Giants fans, Eli has to have a better season from last season. He had a bad year last year, and to have 7 picks going into 2 games this year, he's headed towards 20-plus picks again this year. So if Eli finishes this season with 20-plus interceptions, we cannot sugarcoat that and say it's a wide receiver, it's an O-line. If you've seen that pick yesterday, right before halftime, that was a horrible interception. Eli just threw that ball up in the air. It was 3 balls in the end. It was a fair catch interception. How can we constantly see this every week and say it's not Eli's fault? it's the Lions' fault, it's Gilbert's fault. I mean, those things do play a role, but at the end of the day, it's Eli's fault throwing these bad interceptions, and I just cannot stand people giving him a pass. Something has to be done about it.
No, Ed, look, that's fair. And I would say of Eli's 7 interceptions this year, I think 3 are really on him. Obviously, the screen pass that DeMarcus Ware picked off in that first play against the Dallas Cowboys, that was a terrible decision, threw it right to him. You had the pass that he airmailed against Dallas over the head of Reuben Randall, that was an interception, also on Eli Manning. And then you're right, that pick at the end of the half in that game yesterday, it was a miscommunication between Nix and Eli. I talked to Nix after the game. He said he had a post on that play. Eli threw a fade. It was a bad throw. No question about it. No arguments whatsoever. However, the pick where it hits off the guy's foot is a fluke play. Darrell Scott deflects the ball up in the air, a fluke play. And then the other two, the Giants were already down by 21 points, and he's trying to make something happen down the field and try to bring the Giants back. So to break them down that way, that's fair. And you're right. You can't make excuses. 7 interceptions, you're right. 100% unacceptable, and he has to do a better job taking care of the football. 100% agree with you. But the point I'm getting at here, Ed, and I think Lance and I are both in agreement on this, why is he being put in the position where he has to throw 90 passes in 2 games? And if you get back to your red zone comment, which was the first one you made, the way you score in the red zone, Ed, in this league is to be able to run the football, have your offensive line push the defensive line back, and get some tough yards in the trenches. This Giants offensive line and running game has shown no ability to run the ball inside the 10-yard line. You had the perfect example. They had 2nd and 3 from the 6-yard line yesterday with a perfect opportunity to try to run the ball to get a first down and set themselves up to go into the end zone, and they had to pass the ball because they could not run the football if their lives depended on it, and that puts Eli in the position where he will throw the interceptions like he's throwing them. You know what I mean?
That's part of the problem, but we've been having the same issue year in, year out. So if it's not the running game's problem, to me, I think it's Kevin Gilbride. It's like we get inside the 20-yard line, and then it's like we just have a brain freeze. We don't know what play to call, what right play to call, if it's a play-action pass. And it's like on 1st and 10, that's going to be mainly – that's a running down. So if the Giants come out with a 2 tight end stance, fullback coming in motion, the defense isn't stupid. They would see that motion come along the line and see that it's a running play coming. So it's a 2-yard loss, 1st and 10. It's 2nd and long. 2nd and long, you know you're going to pass the ball. It's so predictable. How about you come out 1st and 10, shotgun, full wide, spread it out, pass the ball, pass 2 setups and run. Like, you know what I'm saying? Just stop with the 1st and 10, hand up straight up the middle. It gets no yards all the time. And so, I mean, we can't just keep saying it's the O-line, it's this and that. It's a combination of all of that. So that's what I'm saying. This year, I think if we miss the playoffs, I do not want to see Gilbride, Coughlin, and Eli there next year. Something has to change. Either get a fresh mind coordinator that knows how to switch things up, call different plays. But you can't keep coming in every season and having 20-yard field goals every time you get inside a 5-yard line. That's pathetic. And really, that defense really kept us in the game. I mean, to have Peyton Manning going 3 and out and keeping the 7 points to force a fumble down there on Peyton Manning's first drive, that was a great play by the defense. So for the defense to do all this, getting 3 and out, force a Peyton Manning only 7 points, and for the offense to come up with field goals, I mean, that's sad. And honestly, I don't see that changing this season unless Coughlin tells Gilbert, look, change the tempo, go no huddle first quarter. Don't wait till you're down. Don't wait till we start struggling to get a first down. Start off the game, no huddle. Peyton Manning does it. Every other quarterback does it. Matt Ryan does it. Brady does it. The Giants need to start the tempo faster.
Thanks for the call, Ed. We appreciate it, bud.
Thanks.
Have a good one, man.
And I can understand Ed's frustration, John, but the bottom line is they got to correct this season before they start worrying about what changes they potentially can make after this season. And it's understandable that people are venting and frustrated. But as you mentioned, you know, you look at the Eli Manning 7 interceptions, it's not just him. Because you broke it down, there were just 3 that were really technically on him, and Ed even outlined, you do have offensive line issues, you have running game issues. I understand that you want to say they're not that creative in the red zone, but how can you be creative if you're not getting blocking up front and wide receivers are not getting separation? So it's definitely on other facets other than Eli Manning and Kevin Gilbride's decision-making.
You got to run the football inside the 10 if you want to be a good red zone team. Last year, by the way, the Giants in the red zone were 15th in the league, right in the middle of the league. So they weren't a bad red zone team last year. Let's be clear about that. And we're not trying to absolve Eli Manning of blame here either. Even if only three interceptions were his responsibility, you're still looking, if you want to do the math on that, three interceptions over two games, you extrapolate that over there, that still comes out to 24 interceptions for the year, which is obviously a bad, bad number. You can't have that. So obviously Eli has not played well the first two games. I think he's been put in bad positions that have forced some of his mistakes, but he still made those mistakes. And we gave the stat earlier in the offseason. What quarterbacks had the most turnovers over the last 3 years? Eli Manning. So he has to do a better job of protecting the football. We know this team is explosive wide receivers. They can make a lot of big plays through the air. All that's true, and they have to keep attacking through the air. But they also have to be more cautious with the football. 201-939-4513. I'm going to go back-to-back Eds and go to Big Ed in Maryland. What's going on, Big Ed?
What's up, guys? How you doing this morning, man? How's it going?
What's up, Ed? How are you?
All right. Big Lance, Big John. Let's get right to it. Okay. We got our first two games out of the season. Good. Now let's just go down to Carolina and win this one. As long as we do that, we're fine. I'm not worried about the passing. I'm not worried about the running game, although we do need to establish it. That definitely has to get that part straightened out. Let's give game balls to the defense for the last 2 weeks straight for keeping us in football games. The defense is fundamentally sound outstanding. It's so great to have TT back, and it is just absolutely, oh, yeah, and Ross, of course. It's great to have those guys back, especially CC, because he can make those open field one-on-one tackles. That's what he's great for. And it's definitely great to have our friend, the one, the only, the Bruiser. Bruiser scored yesterday, baby. Yes, he did. And now we just have to establish him on a regular running. But, hey, you got to give credit up to Denver and Dallas. They've been playing great on the defensive line. I mean, it's hard to run on both of them, so Carolina is not that strong. So the next games, the next four or five games, I don't think the defensive line is half as strong as what we faced in the first two.
Big Ed,
so
just, big,
the running
big,
game should get established.
Yeah, Big Ed, just be careful. The Carolina front four and linebackers, I could make the argument their front four especially is far more talented than what Dallas put out there in the front four with those injuries.
Yeah, I mean, that's good. You're right, because Carolina did improve in their linebacker core because they did have a good linebacker core a minute ago.
Yeah, they shut down that Seahawks offense. Keep that in mind, Ed. The Seahawks struggled in week one, so Carolina's had some very strong performances.
Yeah, the Panthers held two straight teams under 20 points.
That's right, because they can tackle. That's the thing about their linebackers. They can tackle. They don't allow you to – and they play great gap penetration. They play great gap. So we should be able to do our thing with them. I really don't see a problem with them, although I know our tight end position has got to improve. Dang, we miss Marcellus Dillon right now.
Brandon Myers has to – Brandon Myers has got to get that ball in the end zone, man. He's got to get that ball in the end zone.
And he has to improve his blocking as well.
He's got to stay healthy.
All right, Big Ed. Thanks so much for the phone call. Appreciate it.
Good to hear from Big Ed.
All right, y'all. I'll talk to you later on this week, man. We're going to try to do something. I'm trying to get up there for the Philly game, hopefully.
Very good, Big Ed.
Get in touch with me, John. Try to find me so I can come up to the Philly game and make this official.
All right, Big Ed.
With the guys, and we do it big.
Sounds good, my man.
That's going to be huge.
All right, bro.
All right, Big Ed.
Thanks, Big Ed. We haven't got Big Ed and Ed in the same call, I think, since last year.
Period of time. I agree. Hopefully we'll hear from some of the usual suspects.
Ed, a little depressed. Big Ed, still very optimistic.
Very upbeat.
It's the balance of the Eds. That's what the Giants need in offense, a little more balance.
That's true. What a good segue. Like yesterday you had some good segues.
Pretty good.
Today, you know. And it's funny because I was going to throw out off the top of the show the first caller that recommends that the Giants should bench Eli Manning gets a free debate with you, but Ed beat me to the point here. I mean, Ed was already heading down that road.
No, he wasn't. Look, I think Ed made reasonable points.
He did.
He wasn't saying anything drastic or like bench Eli Manning, you know, do something stupid. He was just making the point that, look, Eli can't turn the ball over as much as he is, and that much is true. I can't argue with that. And quite frankly, they're pretty fortunate with all the times Eli's been hit that he hasn't fumbled the ball yet either. He's done a very good job of not only protecting the football, but staying healthy.
I have Eli Manning's career numbers up in front of me season by season. And once again, I'm not trying to make excuses for him. He had two seasons in which he had at least 20 interceptions. Outside of that, it's always been underneath 20. And I know right now he's on pace to break all types of records.
How many under 17 has he had?
Five.
Five. Okay. So five times he's averaged basically one a game or less. Okay. That's fair. And I think with all the passes Eli throws, if he's at 15, 16 interceptions, I think you live with that.
I mean, his highest in terms of attempts in a single season was 589. That came in 2011. And then the other thing to keep in mind, the year he threw 20 interceptions was 2007.
And the funny thing about it, I know we're saying, oh, the running game has to get better if you want to win this thing. Go back to 2011, they had the worst running game in the league, and they still won the Super Bowl. Granted, it got better in the playoffs and the last couple of games. But you can win without it, but your offensive line does have to protect. And if you can't run it, you got to protect your quarterback, and they haven't done either one. If you're not going to block on the run, you at least got to give Eli Manning time to win the game through the air, and they haven't done that either.
Well, the running backs have to do that, and the tight ends have to do that, both of those positions.
Team effort, no doubt about it. 201-939-4513. Will is down in Atlanta. Will, what's going on, pal?
What's going on, gentlemen? How you doing?
I'm doing all right, Will. How about you?
I'm doing good, man. I tell you, John, two good things that happened yesterday. Number one was definitely our defense. And number two, everyone in the division, they also lost.
True.
So, you know, it pretty much just puts everything back on a level playing field, man, for week two. But couple things I also want to address. You know, I'm not going to be calling for Gilbride or Coughlin's for the head. I mean, I just think that's retarded. You know, these guys, they're proven. You know, and sometimes it does take things a little bit longer for it to work itself out. And I do agree on some of the play calling. You know, I can't remember exactly where we were on the field, but it was like second and two, and Eli's passing the ball. I'm not understanding that. I mean, we re-signed Big Jacobs for a reason. How about we run him up the gut? You know, second and two, run Jacobs. Third and two, whatever case may be, run Jacobs again, man. And I think that's how we can pretty much establish that run game. And also, I want to talk about where's Murphy? Because we talked about his big playability, him going down the field. And I don't know if I missed it, but I don't even think I seen him on the field yesterday.
You talk about Lewis Murphy, and I think that's a great point. Correct. We really haven't seen much of him. He's a guy that was brought in, you're 100% right, to spread the wealth and stretch the field, and he's been relatively quiet through two games of this season.
We made the point, too, that he was quiet in the preseason as well. He didn't do a whole lot. But you know what? Are you really missing a weapon through the air, though? The first week of the year, you had three receivers with 100 yards and Brandon Myers at 87. I don't know how many wide receivers you want to throw the ball to.
Yeah, I mean, and that is true. You're absolutely correct. But I still want to see it. I mean, because apparently we could have used it yesterday. You know, because I'm looking at their triple-teaming crews, you know, which came from a couple of Eli Manning's interceptions. So, I mean, if we do have that additional weapon and at the time passion is what's clicking, then how about we use it? Let's pull it out. And then it was missed opportunities, you know, like you guys talked about. Brandon Myers, I mean, somehow the air tackled him out of nowhere. I mean, you're wide open, man. Let's go ahead and get that in. So I think, you know, some of it is missed opportunities, which you can't completely say coaching, you know, protecting the ball. I mean, yes, some of that does fall on coaching, but it's still the player's responsibility to protect the ball when you're going into the end zone like Ruben Randle. Thank God we got a penalty on that play because that would have been another huge turnover.
Will, thanks for the call, pal.
Thank you, General. Y'all take care, man. Enjoy your day.
Have a good one.
You too.
And look, you have to run the ball well, but I think in fairness to the Giants, they tried to run the football in this game. It's not like they didn't attempt it. They just couldn't do it successfully. And if you're running, like we said, 19 carries in this game for the Giants, six of them for zero or negative yards, and then a seventh for only 1 yard. If you can't run successfully, you can't just keep pounding the ball and putting your quarterback in second and third and 10.
Well, that's why I wanted to get back to Will's point because he mentioned that Brandon Jacobs is big, let's run him up the gut, but you need the offensive line to win the battle at the line of scrimmage to allow him to have some openings. I mean, look at what Brandon Jacobs did. He had a run of 5 yards. This was early in the game on a second and five of the Denver 24. Outside of that, he has 6 carries, John, for negative 1 yards. He ended up with 7 carries for 4 yards yesterday.
And it's not even Brandon Jacobs' fault.
No, not at all.
He's getting the handoff and he's getting hit. He barely has a chance to take a step before a defender's in his face.
And it's like that for all the running backs. The minute Eli Manning hands them the ball, you have penetration, whether it be off the edges or up the gut. Who does that fall on? Falls on the line of scrimmage.
David Wilson had to make about six guys miss to gain 2 yards in that one running play.
A lot of tap
six
passing.
Guys.
And that was a great effort on his part, but way too much work to have to get 2 yards.
No doubt about it.
Here's another stat that did not receive a lot of attention, which is amazing how Denver still managed to win this game.
What do you got?
13 penalties for 132 yards, John.
Well, I think it shows you a couple things, and this goes back to what Will was talking about, how explosive the Giant wide receivers are. Every time the Broncos tried to cover any one of the three of them, Cruz, Randall, or Nix, one-on-one, the Broncos either gave a reception or they had to commit a pass interference penalty to stop the Giants from making a play. And it shows you how explosive the offense can be because they were abusing a Giants cornerback, a Broncos cornerback group that did so well against the Ravens in week number one and really shut down their passing attack. This Giant receiving corps made mincemeat out of them. They killed them out there.
Well, the Giants have a lot more weapons than the Ravens have showcased. I mean, the Ravens only went deep as Dallas Clark and Ed Dixon outside of Torrey Smith because Jacoby Jones got hurt. But that bodes well for the Giants receiving corps, the fact that they were able to challenge this Broncos secondary. But my big problem is a team gives you 13 penalties for 132 yards. You need to say thank you very much and walk into the end zone. In those circumstances, you can't settle for three Josh Brown field goals. That is not a recipe for success.
Not just 13 penalties. 13 penalties for 132 yards. 132 yards. These aren't five-yard offsides penalties you're talking about here, folks. They're not.
It's a first down and end zone. There were 30-yard pass interference penalties.
Multiple ones.
Yeah.
I'd love to look it up. How many of those were defensive pass interference penalties? That'd probably 66 or 7, right?
I'll take a look as we go through the rest of the callers because it would be interesting to see the exact numbers.
There was also an illegal contact. There was a defensive holding in there, too. See how many of those came through the passing game as we go to our next caller.
Somebody
here
tackled Brandon Myers before he even got outside the route.
By the way, before I go to the calls, I want to go to a couple tweets that came in. Saraceno last night, would you agree that the offense is mostly to blame the past 2 weeks? Six picks in two games, O-line can't block or penetrate. I agree. I think the defense has played pretty well. I think Lance will agree with that as well. We talked about the secondary being a bright spot. And the defensive tackles have done a good job stopping the run as well. A.J. Marshall, Giants got to fix their red zone problems. They can't get field goals. They got to score touchdowns. No question about it. We talked about that as well, and that comes back again. How do you do that? Run the football. Jason Forbes, I'm a big Eli fan, but I think we got to start putting him on notice. Five interceptions is unacceptable. I wonder what he thinks about seven. Too many errors for a vet. Can't disagree with that. Let's see. Kunal, David Deal comeback has become important. Allows jumbo package and O-line helping the run blocking. Well, they could use all the help they can get on the offensive line right now. Brandon Love, how long is it going to take for Kilbride to give up on the run? I know the interceptions are there, but Eli can drive the field. Now, we have two different ways to look at it now. Ed called up, wants to run the football more. He just says, punt the running game. We can't do it. The problem with punting the running game is that, yeah, Eli can drive the field, but if you keep putting the ball in the air, you're going to get more of these interceptions, which is a problem. David Jackson at least twice passing and failing on third and two while we had Jacobs in the backfield ready to charge for it. It's frustrating. Well, David, we talked about it. Jacobs had 1 5-yard run of his other 6 yards, his other six runs, for -1 yards. So would it have worked? Not based on how the team played. James Lisa laughing. Everybody loves our defense. 77 points in two games. What a joke. And our offensive front of the 7 blocks of silly putty. Which actually is actually not a bad line. Of course, joking about the 7 blocks of granite from Fordham fame.
Keep in mind, though, not to interrupt you, John, one of those was a special teams touchdown. That's not necessarily against the defense.
And two were defensive touchdowns for the Cowboys.
Correct.
So that's 21 points.
So you have to adjust those numbers. It's not necessarily 72.
It's still not pretty. But the offense has put the defense into some very difficult positions, not to mention the special teams touchdown and the two defensive touchdowns Dallas had.
That's why it's important when you look at these numbers through the first two games, it's ugly. But you really have to read into them. You have to read into the interceptions, take things in perspective, the time situation in the game, the position that Eli Manning was put in, and all of the points were not necessarily the defense giving up lengthy 10-play, 80-yard drives. A lot of them were gifts that the Giants' offense gave to the opposition in which the Giants' defense had a short field to work
and
with.
And Marcus Erickson, the refs moved the ball better than any player on our team, which is not far from the truth.
Well, at least Giants fans have some humor this morning.
Well, Marcus Erickson's always good
Absolutely.
For that. 201-939-4513. Thank you, Dominic in Pennsylvania, for waiting. You've been a holder for a bit. Dominic, what's going on, pal?
All right, how you guys doing? First thing, I think that the defense did a tremendous job, especially in the secondary. The standout players to me were Paige Singer, Terrell Thomas, and, you know, Jaquan Williams showed some flashes of his talent. I just, as far as the offense goes, the common denominator in the running game, you know, everyone expected Jacobs to be the magic wand to get the running game to where it needs to be, and I think that his leadership will do that, but the offensive line is just not making holes. The same thing with Dave Wilson running on the outside and Darrell Scott. Denver's defense seemed to constantly create congestion on the line to plug all the holes. So, you know, I feel like something has to be done on the offensive line because, it, you know, Denver's defense just kind of bunched the offensive, you know, offensive line all together, plugging up everything. And I have a gripe. Why are we throwing the ball to Brandon Myers 2 yards out when he has no speed? I think we're like, I don't know if the play was like 3rd and 7. A tight end like Brandon Myers needs to go at least 5 or 6 yards. So I don't know whose play call that was. It could have been Eli's. It could have been Gilbright's. It's just something that I didn't like.
Honestly, that play, I think I remember the player talking about. I'm guessing that was one of those deals where Myers was the 3rd or 4th option, and Eli looked at his other 2 reads and decided he would hope that Myers could catch it and get a little run after the catch. I think I know what player you're talking about. Trust me, they wouldn't make Brandon Myers the number 1 option on a play to run a 5-yard pattern when it's 3rd and 7. That doesn't make any sense.
Right. Okay, now, I haven't heard any callers talk about special teams, but it just seems like with Paysinger and a few other players missing from special teams, we seem to have lost some speed and the ability to stop the run game on the kick and the punt returns. It just seemed like there was no speed there.
And in fairness, too, when Steve Weatherford actually tweeted this last night after the game where he said, I punted poorly today, and I apologize to my team. I'll do better next week. And, look, I don't want to take Weatherford off the hook here, but he did have some bad punts on some good snaps. But there were also a couple pretty bad Zach Diossi snaps in there. He had to pull one off of the ground. He had to jump in the air to get another one. And I think that had an impact on a couple of his punts. But they played with fire all day on those special teams plays because Trindon Holliday is a guy, and Tom Coughlin said it in his post-game press conference. We practiced all week. Punt the ball to the sidelines, punt it high, and a lot of their punts yesterday were low-line drives to the middle of the field. They were fortunate he didn't break one earlier in the game, and he finally did in that fourth quarter, and that really was the back-breaking play of this contest, in my opinion.
Okay, so let me ask you this.
Yeah.
What is it we need on the offensive line? Do you guys see... I know it's Bass's first game back, but do you see any improvement in the next game or something that's going to take place that's going to at least kick it into a better gear for us on the offensive line?
Well, I think you're going to have more practice time, and maybe that's too simplistic of an answer, but the bottom line, Dominic, is the fact that they need to get used to one another. Once again, I mean, you had Voss out of the lineup for a couple of weeks. Remember, he got hurt in that second preseason game against the Colts with that sprained MCL. So he wasn't getting a lot of reps until this week's practice leading into the Broncos game. And then Booth had been playing at center, so now he's going back to guard. I mean, it's very easy to say, all right, these guys have played these positions before. They should all of a sudden slide back in and everything should be back to normal. But it really isn't that simple. So my simple answer is let them get 5 practices under their belt starting this week leading into the game. I would think that would help get better results come this weekend against the Panthers.
Okay, yeah, because without the offensive line, I don't see any hopes for any postseason.
Well, it's going to be very tough. Yeah. And Dominic, appreciate the phone call. Thanks so much for weighing in. You need to set the tone with your offensive line because that helps protect Eli Manning and it helps open up the running game. There is no way that the Giants are going to be able to put together consistent performances if they can't run the football. You're going to have Eli Manning throw 45 to 50 passes every week, and then each and every Monday we're going to be breaking down why Eli Manning is throwing so many interceptions. That's going to be the biggest problem because it's simple. No matter, regardless of the talent of your quarterback, if Drew Brees puts the ball in the air 50 times, if Tom Brady puts the ball in the air 50 times.
Look what happened to Drew Brees last year. How many picks did he throw?
He had a game where he had 5 interceptions.
Because they were always behind and they had to throw the ball 50 times. Could not be more right.
It doesn't matter. It's not solely tied to just Eli Manning here. It's a trend across the league. Teams that have balance, teams that can run the football, will have success.
Look, how did the Packers do last year when they couldn't run the ball for their lives?
And they couldn't protect Aaron Rodgers. He was sacked over 50 times.
Down year. Last year when the Patriots had the great year they had. Stephen Ridley, 1,300 yards on the ground rushing. The Broncos ran the ball fairly well last year with Willis McGahee. Look at the teams that were in the Super Bowl. Ravens, balance. Ray Rice, Joe Flacco. Niners, balance. Frank Gore, Colin Kaepernick. Seahawks, balance. Russell Wilson, Marshawn Lynch. Balance, balance, balance. Houston Texans, run the football, throw it with Matt Schaub to Andre Johnson. Go across the board here, folks. And we always talk about the Dallas Cowboys on this show. The last 2 years, they haven't been able to run the ball for anything. Tony Romo is forced to throw the ball 40 times a game. What does Tony Romo have issues with a lot of times? Interceptions. You're seeing the same exact formula applied to the Giants this year.
And I could even take it into consideration for yesterday's games. Cowboys could not run the football yesterday. Surprise, surprise. Yes, they didn't lose by a lot, but they lost by 1 point. And had they had more balance, it probably would have helped them have more success on offense
At least run the ball successfully. A couple other good tweets here from Ted Crum. And one thing we didn't – I mentioned it earlier in the show, but we haven't really gotten into it much. His tweet, not my quote, his. Defensive ends are playing like garbage. Tuck and QB got buried on TD runs. No pressure on quarterback. He's right about the Noshon Moreno runs down the sideline. The first play was Tuck. He got sealed. The next play was Mathias Kiwanuka. He got turned around. Didn't even know where he was. And he's right about the pass pressure. Tony Romo and Peyton Manning, for the most part, for two straight weeks, have basically had coffee clutches back there. Hanging out. Hey, Miles Austin, you want the ball now? Throw it to Jason Witten. Demaryius Thomas, I'll go to Wes Walker this time. You got to get pressure on the quarterback.
And that's another example of how effective Manning is as a decision maker, because if he sees that he's going to get an opening with the running game like he did when he was with the Colts a couple of years ago, he will easily switch things up and say, you know
Peyton
what?
Peyton now, obviously.
Peyton, of course,
right.
Yes. I know I have to specify the Mannings when we're talking about the two Mannings in this one game. But, yes, I'm referring to the Broncos right now. If he sees the Giants struggling in terms of sealing off the edge, he's going to say, listen, Moreno, we're going to run you to the right and take what the Giants are going to give you.
And it's funny, they used a second-round pick on Ronnie Hillman last year, a first-round pick on Monty Bowen. Looks like Noshon Moreno is still their best running back.
Pass protection.
Well, and he's running the ball well, too, man. He's healthy. He's always that. When he's healthy, Noshon Moreno, he can run it. And right now he's healthy. 201-939-4513. Let's go to Steve in Ohio. Steve, what's going on, pal?
Hey, guys.
Thanks for holding, Steve. What's up?
No problem. Hey, it's good to hear you guys this morning, because last night after the game and then during the weather delay and the late-night game, you know, everybody's talking about the turnovers, and I just wonder, I don't think any of those guys actually watched the game. So it's good to hear
you're probably
the
right.
That did watch the game and know how it went down. But the offensive line, it's, I watched the Cowboys game and the Chiefs yesterday just to see how they played against another team. And you can see that they're trying to build an offensive line, because that's where it's at.
Yeah, but in fairness, I think the Chiefs did really dominate the Cowboys at the line of scrimmage in that game. And you saw Dontari's Poe a couple times specifically get to Tony Romo and get some sacks, something the Giants couldn't do last week in the same situation.
Yeah, exactly. How did you guys see Heinonski? I meant to watch for him, but, you know, you always get sidetracked. Oh, you're supposed to, you know, watch a particular player.
Nah, Steve, okay, it's very hard when you're watching the game on game day. You're following the ball to see individual guys. You almost have to rewatch the game a couple times to do that. I think Heinonski's still rounding in the game shape. I don't think he's there yet. They need him to be there, too, and I think that's part of the problem with the running game as well. It's not just the offensive line. Like Lance mentioned earlier, it's a team thing. It's the running backs, the fullback, it's the tight ends. And I don't think Heinonski is at his optimum form yet.
Yeah, I've figured he must not have been, because there was no running.
I think you put him in the same category, Steve, as a JPP.
Yep, no
somebody
question.
Who needs maybe another game or two till you can see his full effectiveness.
It was hard seeing JPP frustrated on the sideline, too.
Because he's used to getting to the quarterback, and clearly right now his back is not 100%. And, Steve, greatly appreciate the phone call. Thanks so much for weighing in this morning, as it's 201-939-4513. You can also chime in on the conversation on Twitter, hashtag GiantsChat, as we are also monitoring that throughout the course of this show.
Doug Borington, there just doesn't seem to be a sense of urgency and fire on this team. I'm not buying that. When you lose, you tend to not look very enthusiastic. I don't think there's any lack of effort or fire here on this team, to be quite honest with you. Let's see. From Usama, bad play calling, bad coaching. Pass with 2:18 and a half to stop clock. Coaches are setting team up to fail. I think it's players not executing much more than coaches in this situation. NFL Jints, that the guy who called up, and I believe that was – I don't remember who called up that said Paysinger. I thought played pretty well. But did he see Paysinger whiff on Holiday's punt return? He did. And Paysinger also missed a tackle. I believe it was in a Noshon Moreno run up the middle that went for about 18 yards sometime in that second half as well. Saraceno, Sean Locklear still available, LOL. He actually is, just for the record. I'm not sure if he wants to play anymore, though. Ted Crum, Holiday ran through a gap that had five Giants around them, but it was like watching Madden. And third down efficiency, this is a good one from Andrew Chow. Third down efficiency, 1 for 11 versus Broncos, 6 for 11. Got to move the chains. It seems like fourth quarter, we look to cruise to save us. 201-939-4513. I'm going to go to Brian in Philadelphia. Brian, what's going on, pal?
Hey, what's up, guys? How you doing?
Brian, what's going on? At least you don't have any Eagle fans running around all happy today giving you a hard time.
Oh, no, but they try. They try. But, you know, guys, look, I mean, I thought we played good until, see, I think it was one of those games where, like, the football guys, it just didn't go our way with the interception off the foot. I kind of think that took a piece of us. Like, you know, when something like that happens in a game, to me, you know that opposite team is going to win the game. I mean, things is just falling right in their lap. I mean, other than us turning the ball over, Eli with the interceptions, it's our run game. Our run game is not there. And, you know, once you commit to the pass, all the defense doing is just sitting back just waiting. That's why we couldn't do nothing. You know, but I that was the first thing. And I believe that I like Larry Darnell. He showed me he's pretty good. And at the same time, guys, it's still early in the season. It's still early. We still have a chance. I know we look bad, but it's still early. You know, we was 0-2 once, and you know what happened in 07. So, you know, I'm upset because we look bad, but I believe that we have the players. I don't know what's wrong in the locker room. I'm just a fan, but we have the players. You know, half these guys that's on the team been with us when we won one or two Super Bowls, so it's there. But I don't know. You know, we don't see it on the field. That's the thing. You know, so.
And you bring up a fair point, Brian, and thanks so much for the phone call. Greatly appreciate it. In terms of the Giants have had their fair share of early season struggles in the past, and they have been able to regroup. And right now it doesn't look too promising, but, you know, the schedule does open up, and if they right some of their wrongs, they have a legitimate opportunity to get back in the mix. But, you know, they got to get this running game going. Players individually have to win their man-on-man battles. It's not just one little thing. There's multiple things across the board. The defense needs to get to the quarterback. You know, the linebackers need to be play better in terms of providing that second-tier layer of defense to help out the front seven. And then you look on offense. Eli Manning needs more time to throw the football. He needs a running game to help protect him as well as provide some balance in the offensive line. I mean, we've named five or six different things alone, and we're only two games into the season. So sometimes it's easier said than done. I think with more and more practice time and with more and more players getting back to full health, you should see the level of execution improve. The question is, how much longer will that take?
And this is a theme, I think, that Bob Papa and Carl Banks have brought up on the last couple of postgame shows. The Giants still look like they're in, like, that fourth preseason game land here, where they're not hitting on all cylinders, while the Broncos look like they're in mid-season form. And I think that's some of the differential seeing here, where the Giants are making a lot of these small mistakes, but small mistakes build up over the course of the game, and they will cost you contests. And those combination of small mistakes have really cost the Giants the first 2 weeks this year.
And you brought up a great point in terms of the preseason. And I know a lot of us tend to say, hey, it's a preseason game. If a guy misses a game, it's not the end of the world. You don't want to have to put a player out there and risk injury.
Continuity.
But look at the Redskins, for example, John. Two games, RG3 didn't play one preseason game. It's starting to take the toll on this squad. Clearly, they're two games of the season. It's almost essentially like two preseason games. The Giants, remember, had a lot of injuries during the preseason. And most fans were saying, you know what, it's not the end of the world as long as we get them back for week one. But now you look at it and you say, you know, Victor Cruz had a couple of more games with Eli Manning. Maybe better continuity in the passing game. You have healthier running backs. Andre Brown doesn't go down. Maybe you build off of some momentum that you have in the last couple of preseason games. The offensive line stays healthy. You're not playing a game of musical chairs. And the same thing could be said on defense. They lost a lot of players in the secondary. Remember, Roland Mundy didn't have a lot of time out there. That eventually adds up. It builds up. And now we're seeing those results.
Two statistical nuggets I'm stealing from people. The first from Mike Garofolo. You can follow him on Twitter, by the way, at Mike Garofolo. And this is to your Redskin point, how slow they've started. They're minus 43. First half point differential is the worst through 2 weeks since Pittsburgh in 1989. That's a good number from him. And going back to what I believe it was Brian in Philly, made the point it's still early, no need to panic. Yes, it is early. The Giants have won their last two Super Bowls after starting 0-2. However, or the last, I'm sorry, the one in 2007 they won after starting 0-2. However, Adam Schefter makes a good point. It gets late early in this league. Over the last 4 years, 30 teams, 3-0, have started the season 0-2. In those last four seasons, how many of those 0-2 teams do you think, Lance, have made the playoffs?
A percentage or a number of teams?
Give me a number. Of those 30 teams that started 0-2 over the last 4 years, how many have made the playoffs?
I'm going to throw out 6. 0. Wow.
0.
That's a telling statistic.
Now, granted, you go back, like I said, to 2007. The Giants won the Super Bowl in 2007 after starting 0-2. So, look, it can happen. Remember, the Giants were a goal line stand away from starting 0-3 that year, too, with the Redskins trying to punch it in Week 3 that year. And I believe it was Aaron Ross and Kenny Phillips that made a couple good plays on the goal line to prevent them from getting in there. So, gets late early in this league, folks.
Before we get back to the lines, I looked up all the pass interference and other penalties. So there were 8 penalties by the secondary out of those 13. 4 pass interference calls. Then you also had an illegal contact.
Do you have any yardage on those pass interference calls?
One was 21 yards. One was 30. One was 1 yard. And the other one was 23. So wow, you had man. 3
that's,
that were at least 21
that's
yards.
60 yards of penalties right there, close to 70.
Giants just could not capitalize on those.
201-939-4513. Good job there, Mr. Meadow. Let's go to Steve down in Washington, D.C. I'm sure Steve's not a happy camper today.
Of course I'm not happy. How you guys doing?
I'm all right, Steve. How are you?
Hey, listen. Oh, man. You know, I don't know if it's fortunate or unfortunate. I was moving yesterday, so I missed a lot of the game. But I did watch most of the first half. But I just, you know, I don't know if y'all want the positive or the negative. But I'm going to try to break it down for y'all real quick because I know y'all got a lot of calls. And I'm going to simply say this. Number one, you know what the definition of insanity is, and it's doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. Apparently, Kevin Gilbride has not gotten that. And, you know, you can sit here and point to everybody else, but, you know, about their shortcomings, and you guys are pretty hard on Wilson about his fumbles, but there's no excusing anything that those interceptions that Eli threw. So clearly that needs to be addressed. But as far as our offense, first of all, hands down, I think I'm so happy with the defense this year. I think the secondary is playing great. I'm so happy to see Terrell Thomas staying healthy. I think he's playing great on top of it. So I don't think the defense is the problem at this point. You know, I mean, you guys may have a different take on it, but I don't. But the running game, the problem with the running game is the same thing I've been saying to you guys for the last couple years. It is our tempo. Too much check down. That makes everybody rush. They're all rested. I just don't get why we continue to check down. We would be a lot better running team if we were just running. Just running. Stop doing all the cute stuff and just run the ball. I'm going to say this last thing, and I'll listen to you guys off air. But, Eli has been throwing off his back foot for the last season and a half. Not only is it throwing a lot of interceptions up, but it's getting our players hurt. And I would like to say this last thing is that, you know, we play scared. We're always trying to throw the long ball, always. And that controls our time of possession. That's why we still are having a third of, you know, possession time than the other team, whether we win or lose. I mean, don't you guys get it? It's real simple. Time of possession, you got to run the ball, you got to pull at your will, you got to have tempo. We would just put that those three things together, we'd win a lot more football games. It's not all the players. Yeah, I mean, yeah, there's some changes on the offensive line, but, you know, it's not all the offensive line part. It's the play calling. It is the play calling. We have to impose our will. And the only way you can do that is be sure what you want to do and go with it. Tempo, too much check down. Guys, you know, give me some feedback because that's just how I see it.
Well, thanks for the call, Steve.
Yeah, Steve, appreciate the phone call. I just wanted to get back to his point. He mentioned that when Eli Manning throws off his back foot, he's putting the ball in a position where receivers are getting hurt. I don't recall anybody really suffering a devastating injury unless I missed that over the first two games, unless he was maybe talking about a trend that happened over the last couple of seasons.
I mean, Myers had that one play where he got kind of undercut, but he came back into the game. And look, when you throw into your back foot, do you air it out a little bit? Do you maybe set up receivers over the middle from time to time? Yeah, but Eli, I think, has been pretty good over his career not putting his wide receivers in dangerous positions, generally speaking. But has he had mechanical issues in the past throwing off his back foot? Not even just the last 2 years. It's going back to when he first came into the league. That's kind of something I think he consistently fights. But that gets back to pass protection. Why is Eli throwing off his back foot? His guys are in his face. If he has the confidence that he can step up and throw the ball and step into it, you're not going to have that issue.
And in terms of Steve's point about the consistency of the play calling, and I know a lot of people are questioning Kevin Gilbride, I felt yesterday throughout the course of the game and even in the Cowboys game, and I know they were playing catch-up in week one, they took some chances down the field. I don't think everything was necessarily a five-yard throw into the flat or a quick running play where we only get 1 or 2 yards. He was throwing it down the field to Randall. He was getting
mixed. Look at all the pass interference penalties.
So, I mean, they were taking their fair share of chances down the field. The results weren't always consistent, but they were testing this Broncos secondary.
Yeah, John Foster on Twitter actually tweeted in, when is Gilbride going to make an adjustment? Stop trying to go downfield. Remember, Eli had 3 interceptions on deep passes down the field, 2 at the end, 1 at the end of the first half, and throw some shorter passes to maybe help protect that offensive line. Remember, week one, uses that as an example, the Cowboys had a mishmashed young offensive line, Ron Leary making his first NFL start, Travis Frederick making his first NFL start. So what did they do to try to combat those offensive line deficiencies? A lot of 3-step drops, a lot of quick throws. Maybe that is something the Giants can try to integrate into their playbook a little bit more.
That's a great point. You see a lot of teams adjust because the quarterback doesn't have a great deal of time to get the ball down the field, and maybe the Giants now need to not only tweak their offense but reevaluate it given the fact that they may not be able to work out some of these O-line issues, and you still have a young nucleus of running backs who are not very good at pass protection, plus Brandon Myers, who's a question mark.
Bigger problem, too. How do you keep pass pressure off your quarterback besides blocking? Play action's a great way to do it. When you can't run the ball, guess what? Nobody's going to buy your play action fakes, and that's where Eli's been really effective on play action over the course of his career. If you can't run it, play action's not going to work.
And that's also when a guy like Lewis Murphy, who one of the earlier callers touched on, can be at his best because he can stretch the field.
Not even to mention draws and screens. Another thing that keeps defensive ends from going after the quarterback. The Giants are terrible at screen passes, and they haven't run the draw well. So if you can't do any of those things to keep the pass rushers off the quarterback, how are you supposed to win football games? It's a big problem.
That's a great point.
201-939-4513. Jeff's in Rhode Island. Jeff, good morning.
Hey, Jeff.
Jeff, you there, Pally? Put it back on hold, Asher.
Jeff's usually pretty good. Not a man of very few words in the morning.
We will go back to Jeff here in a second. We'll get back to you, Jeff. But let's jump to Charles down in North Carolina. Charles, what's going on, pal? How are you?
Hey, guys. And let me start off saying I'm listening over the phone, so if you guys can keep me on, well, I can hear your response.
No problem, Charles.
I have to say, thank God that we're only one game out in this division. This division is pretty bad this year. With that being said, I got to kind of echo what you and the last caller said. I got to touch on something.
Yeah.
I feel like it starts from the top with what's going on right now. We have zero linebackers. And I'm not trying to be funny, guys, but we have zero linebackers. I didn't like nothing I seen out of that core group yesterday. It was missed tackles. It was missed opportunities. Hurst jumping for a fumble, and it was terrible what we seen out of that group. That being said, the D-line hasn't got a good pass rush in 2 seasons now. That's technique, that's coaching. Something's going on with what's being taught and what's being game planned for that's not translating over to the games because we're not getting to the quarterback. We know Tuck is more talented than what he's showing. We know that Jenkins is more talented than what he's showing. We know Pierre Paul is. Same thing with the O-line. We haven't been able to run the ball consistently in three seasons. That's coaching. That's technique.
Whoa.
That's
Charles, time out. Charles, one second.
To the game.
Charles, one second. If you haven't been able to run the ball well for 3 years, the personnel hasn't changed. Isn't it the personnel, not the coaching?
I mean, you draft a right tackle, I guess you could say. Booth hasn't always played,
Booth, Snee, and Beattie have always been there. Boss, Snee, Beattie, and Boss have always been there.
Okay, well, let me say this: you put in some youth in the O line. It has to come to a point of that falls on Jerry's again. Then, where do we not just have adequate O linemen? Do we not have adequate line? We definitely don't have adequate linebackers. We know that. I'm pleasantly surprised with the secondary that I didn't think was going to be that great this year. But they're playing pretty good. They're holding up their end of the bargain. Eli, the offense, these long, drawn-out pass plays, this league changes so fast in a blink of an eye. 1 year, you can do that long, drawn-out stuff and people are sending four people and you have time to really sit back and dissect the defense. The name of the game has changed. People are coming after your quarterback now. That's the name of the game. That's the name of the NFL. It'll probably change in 2 years. But right now, that's where it's at. When you got these long, drawn-out pass routes, we have to adjust. You have talented guys at the wide receiver position. They can play. They can do any kind of route and play any kind of scheme you need them to play. But when you got these long, drawn-out routes, man, teams know what we're going to do. I have to say it, man. It's really not about coughing as much, but I'm ready for some new ideals with this team. And John, you know, I've been saying this for 3-4 years, man. On both sides of the ball, thanks for the 2 Super Bowls, but I'm ready for some fresh, new ideals on both sides of the ball as far as philosophy, man. Teams know who we are, what we're going to do. That's why we can't run the ball. Because teams know we haven't changed a thing in years. I can't blame Jacob. I can't blame Wilson. Other than, you know, his fumble, that's on him. But far as running the ball and not being able to produce from the snap of the ball, and you only getting 2 or 3 yards, well, if you looked at it, man, the linebackers and linemen are right in the backfield before we even get a chance to turn the corner. That's game. That's teams knowing, oh, hey, we got it. Every snap Eli comes to the ball, the middle linebacker is tapping his head, doing all kind of funny signals, and looking like he's about to have a seizure because he's seeing.
I hear what you're saying, and I think the offensive line issues have a lot more to do with execution in the offensive line than scheme. I honestly do not believe that the Giants are being beaten here because teams know what plays are coming before they come. Like we've talked about before, Eli Manning changes plays at the line of scrimmage constantly. He can read the defense and make adjustments. Not to mention the fact their passing attack is based on sight adjustments. So the receivers are on different routes based on what the defense does. So even if the same play is called, the receivers could almost do completely different things based on what defense is being shown to the offense. So I really don't think the Giants are a team that I would consider predictable, that teams know what's coming and they stop it because they know what's coming. I honestly believe, and I know you disagree with me based on your call, and that's fine. I think the Giants are, especially offensively, one of the best game-planning teams in football. I think you see them do different things based on who they're playing to great effect. And here's a perfect example. If you look at the passing game compared this week to the week one against Dallas. Week one against Dallas, what did you see a lot of? A lot of slants, a lot of skinny posts, a lot of dig routes. Do you know why? Against that Cowboys defense with the linebackers getting sucked into the line of scrimmage and the safeties playing deep in that Monty Kiffin scheme, the middle of the field is wide open. Now look at this week against the Denver Broncos. You saw them blitz a lot of guys. You saw them bring the safeties into the box. You saw a lot of guys near the line of scrimmage trying to get to Eli Manning. So what does he try to do? He attacks the sidelines one-on-one on the cornerbacks. The philosophy in the passing game from week one to week two, in my opinion, was very different, the way you attack those two defenses. How often do you see the Giants go after Carr and Claiborne down the sideline in week one? You didn't. You saw that constantly against the Broncos yesterday. That's how they got all those pass interference penalties. Yeah, you had the one deep pass to Victor Cruz over the middle. That's sure, that's fine. But the safeties weren't deep on that play. Safeties were shallow. It was man-on-man with the corner. Very different what the Dallas Cowboys did on week one. And the Giants' offense, I think, adjusted accordingly.
And they're going to continue to do that each and every week. Carolina is going to present something very different than Denver did and what Dallas did. And the bottom line is you have a lot of different receivers. You have some different tight ends that you can use to your advantage. So the bottom line is, how can you put them in the best position to succeed? It's going to differentiate from week to week. So I understand the fact that, yes, it's not creative, it's boring at times, but part of that is basing it on the results. Let's see over the course of a game how the offense adjusts, and you would assume that the execution would follow that.
Now, I have a feeling our next caller is going to be a little bit cranky. We'll see how cranky she is. Ann's in Washington, D.C. Ann, good morning.
Hi, guys.
Hi, Ann. Good morning. How are you?
I'm fine. I'm not cranky at all.
Okay.
You know
why?
Why
is that?
Well, you know how I feel. You know that I believe that 70-plus is not getting it done. And when I mean that, I mean the head coach.
He's not 70 yet.
Coaching staff is under the head coach. And as you know, I believe that Gil Brad must go. And now that his son is there, it's gotten even worse.
Oh, yeah, don't put this on Kevin.
Don't blame this on the wide receivers coach. Come on, Ed.
And let me be honest. I like to see the long passing game. But I will tell you, that offensive line was bad back in the NFC Championship game when they played the 49ers.
Correct.
I remember Manning dropping back about 65 times and getting pounded.
Yep. That's
fair.
The
problem is, it's always been bad. But I do think that the players don't know condition. I saw Brandon Myers. He was in super slow motion when he was running for a ball. And one of the things looks to me is that, you know, I feel that the coaching staff have to go. They have gotten it. Gilbride is so much into Manning. He's scared to make a mistake. And he's so programmed like a robot. And that's what it is. And what I feel is Coughlin has a running backs coach. What is he teaching? He has a receivers coach. What are they teaching? Which is Gilbride Jr. The problem is the coaching staff. I think they need a fresh new perspective by a fresh new manned up coaching staff, because I do notice yesterday the head coach also slept a couple of calls. They didn't review a few things. No fire. You can't get that from somebody that old. It's just time. I think it's time. I really do. And if they're saying, okay, well, it's not the coaching staff, then maybe it's time for Manning to get, you know, to go to another, you know, team or something like that, because something, you have to make a change somewhere.
Well, but who are you going to bring in? And you're talking about changing things up, but
what
other options are out there?
Well, you know what? TC brought in Nassib, but right now he has Painter. You just got to go with that. And maybe, you know, sometimes these guys like Eli, maybe he'll say, wait a minute, I got to come out here. See, you know, the problem is he's not cursing Gilbride out. That is a problem, because Gilbride now is throwing players on the field. For example, Jernigan. Why is Jernigan on the field after 4 years, when can't even catch a ball from this guy? So he should be cut, and Murphy should be brought on there. And, you know, they let Ajomo go, but TC is responsible for every player on the field. He chose these players. If they're not executing, go get players that can execute. Why keep giving them something that they can't execute?
All right, Ann. Well, appreciate the phone call. Thanks so much for weighing in. I wouldn't necessarily think that your head coach screaming and yelling at your assistants is going to bring success to this team. I think that would probably do the complete opposite. I understand Ann's point about you need to read your team. You have to have your finger on the pulse of the team. You need to know when to pull back, when to be aggressive. I would say that Tom Coughlin, I think, has shown that he does have a good read of this team. Does it always bode well for the team in terms of results? No. But he understands when he needs to deliver messages. He follows a similar scheme and a similar strategy each and every week in terms of how he addresses the team and how he presents the opponent. I don't know if they necessarily need a shakeup. I think right now they just need better execution. You know, let's not forget, this team did win two Super Bowls. And it's easy to look back at the past and say, well, that means that they should sit back and not make changes. They're always looking to improve. You know, they're always looking at the waiver wire. They're bringing in new talent in training camp. Players like Ajomo, if he was the big playmaker that he was in the preseason, he'd be on the 53-man roster. But he hasn't translated his play from the preseason to the regular season. That's why they went the route of an Allen Bradford, for example. They saw something out of Allen Bradford on film, and he didn't play yesterday. Clearly, that's not a surprise because he just walked off an airplane. But they saw something on film. They're always scouting. They're always evaluating to see if there's anyone out there that they can bring in, infuse into the team, and see if it can bode and result in something positive. But it's not going to happen overnight. They've got to deal with what they have on the current 53-man roster. I always go back to a quote that Len said. You know,
Len's like the most quoted person on this show.
Apparently he is.
And it's somewhat sickening, I got to be honest
with you. He preaches his knowledge, and I'm stunned that we actually haven't heard from him. I'm not sure if he's on hold right now, but it doesn't appear that he's not. Normally he weighs in on Monday.
And unfortunately
mornings.
We were out of time, so only two more calls before we say goodbye.
But he always says that, you know, you look at your 53-man roster, you're going to have a guy on the team provide a spark. You're not going to get a guy who's going to walk in off the street.
Let's go to Eric out in North Dakota. Eric, what's going on, pal? How are you?
Yes, hello?
Eric, what's going on, man?
What's up? You're on the air, Eric. What you got?
Yes, my thing is that be patient. We are going to win. We'll bounce back. You know, we're going to be winning all these games. So my question is this, are they going to be using Lewis Murphy at all for the wide receiver?
Well, honestly, Lewis Murphy was the first guy out there when Akeem Nicks left with that dislocated finger in, I guess it was the first or second quarter of that game, and Murphy was in there. Eli Manning either can't find him, he's not getting open. He was out there on the field. He's just not getting involved in the passing game right now. I think Manning, frankly, right now has more trust in the other three wide receivers and then Brandon Myers. I think right now he's probably his fifth option on that receiving core.
Okay. That was my kind of concern. And we'll bounce back, guys. Don't worry about it. Don't be all concerned.
Who's back, Eric?
No, I said, don't be concerned. You know, we'll win again.
Oh, we'll be back. I got you. All right. Thanks for the call, Eric.
All right, Eric. 201-939-4513 is the telephone number. You can also chime in on Twitter, hashtag Giants Chat.
We rarely let this guy be our cleanup hitter and close out the show, but we'll do it today. Shakes is in Baltimore, Maryland. Shakes, what's going on, pal?
What's going on, bud?
How are you?
Not good.
Well, tell us why, Shakes. What's happening?
Man, that game yesterday was terrible. I mean, I almost broke everything in my household. I was angry. Look, I have things that really bothered me about yesterday. First is, why was Shark not even in the game until the second half? And I'm talking about Rivers. Okay, yeah, they did the whole two linebacker thing, but I mean, Rivers should have had more play.
Yeah, but in fairness, Shakes, the Giants defense in the first half did an excellent job of controlling that Broncos offense. They only had 10 points at halftime. That's pretty darn good.
Yeah, it was good. It was good, but Rivers should have been on the field more. And it was good because Pasinger stepped up. I mean, Pasinger was everywhere. I don't know. It was a caller that said the linebackers ain't sure what. Well, Pasinger did. And I was looking, and I was watching, and that was the only linebacker I've seen making plays.
Now, Pasinger was active. He made some plays. He also did miss a couple of tackles in that game, too, Shakes. But you're right. He was active, and he was around the ball.
Right. And my problem is with this team is, that we can't run the ball, and the reason why we can't run the ball is, like y'all said, that old line. And I think what's missing is they said the other caller, I don't know his name, but he said we haven't had a run game since 3 years. Okay, maybe you're right, but that's because we got rid of all the maulers. I mean, Sauber is gone, O'Hara gone, McKenzie gone.
Well, they were getting old. They're getting old, Chase. You got to replace
these
guys.
They were, but who's stepping up in their place? We got Pugh. He's not no mauler. We got Booth. He's not no mauler. Do you see what I'm saying here? Boss is he's supposed to be a mauler, but he's not no mauler. I mean, nobody has no dog on his old line. Nobody. We don't have the lunch pail guys like we used to have, and that's where the run game has went.
Well, Chase, it's funny you mentioned that. I didn't mean to cut you off, but a lot of people, remember, were calling for Pugh to replace David Deal, and now David Deal's hurt, and maybe now it's the reverse. Maybe they're in need of getting David Deal back sooner than
later. And, Shakes, I agree with you. I don't think you have those physical guys that create push, especially in the middle of that line of scrimmage, that you need to be consistent running up the middle. I think on that, I think you are correct.
Exactly. And my last point, is Perry Fields. Now, I know y'all are supporters of the guy, but I am not. Ever since he has been here, it's been conservative, conservative, conservative. I don't see blitz packages out of nowhere like my man Spags used to do. My man Spags should have been back here this year because we would have been in the Super Bowl this year. Now I'm not too sure. I'm scared. I'm worried. Perry Field needs to draw some, get creative. Draw some blitz packages up. Throw whips. Throw money. Throw the house at him. Just do something. Because this conservative thing, we're going to go 9-7 again for the third straight year.
Shakes,
thanks,
appreciate the call, my friend. Thank
all
you.
Shakes.
All right.
I think the defense has been pretty good the first couple weeks, considering the spot the offenses have put them in. I think you saw some more blitzing out of Perry Fuel in week one against Dallas. You did not see it against Peyton Manning, but we mentioned that last week. Peyton Manning's numbers over his career against the blitz are astronomical. We're talking a quarterback rating like in the 120s. He's not the guy you want to blitz, to be quite honest with you, Shakes. But that's one thing they did mention in the offseason. They want Fuel to maybe bring some more pressure more often, especially if those defensive ends can't get to the quarterback on their own.
Well, they didn't give up the big pass play yesterday. I think the secondary did a good job keeping the receivers in front of them. Manning was forced to, you know, stay within the realm of 10 to 20 yards in terms of his pass plays. And when he went deep, guys like Prince Amukamara were all over Eric Decker to contain him. And therefore, Denver went to the run. You know, they also, I think, adjusted to how Perry Fuel tried to scheme against them. Do you need to take your fair share of chances against the quarterbacks? Absolutely. But you also need to pick your poison, and you need to be careful. Because if you do send the Wolves at Manning, he's going to get rid of the football very quickly, and then you don't have your secondary in a position to make tackles. But eventually, they're going to have to get to the quarterback, whether it be with the front seven alone or whether it be with the help of the corners and the safeties. They're going to have to mix and match, and you hope that as JPP gets fully healthy, that will change. The other thing, keep in mind, you know, Rodgers is maybe a fingertip, could be the wrong term, but he literally was a fingertip away from bringing Manning down. Cullen Jenkins, same thing. They execute those type of plays. Maybe we're talking about some different results yesterday. They've been in positions. The problem is they don't know how to finish. That's the best way I would summarize this defense. In position, but can't lay down the hammer. They can't add that exclamation point.
How about the offense? Same deal. Position to score a lot of touchdowns. They can't get in the end zone. They got to settle for field goals. It's been a story of small mistakes, big mistakes, and missed opportunities for this Giants team. And look, when this team was great, they were great by winning the battle at the line of scrimmage, protecting Eli Manning, being balanced on offense, and getting to the quarterback. And let's be honest, those are three or four things that they're not doing particularly well right now. And it's going to have to get better if this team wants to turn the season around. Lance, always fun as always. We'll go through the picks tomorrow.
Sounds good.
Excellent job on the phones. Excellent job on Twitter by the fans. We'll be back with you tomorrow. Big Blue Kickoff Live every weekday morning from 9:30 to 10:30 right here on Giants.com. Make sure you tune in tomorrow morning. Later on today, we'll have a couple features with Sean O'Hara on Giants.com as we break down some plays from the game and get Sean's take overall on what's going on with the New York Football Giants. For Lance Metal, I'm John Schmelk. We'll see you next time right here on Giants.com. Have a good one.